الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, I just wanted it slightly lower because it cramps my style, the little that I have. The land of Iraq is a land which is in the headlines on a daily basis, because it is a land where Muslim blood flows like the Tigris and the Euphrates River. It is a land where blood is cheaper than oil, and the reality is that oil can be substituted for blood. But this is not the first time that Iraq has seen a massacre, for Iraq has a history of massacres. In 1258, when the Mongols took over Iraq under Hilugu, who was the grandson of Genghis Khan, the entire population of Baghdad at that time was 1.6 million. 1.6 million. And later historians write that half of the population of Baghdad was massacred. Can you imagine a group of people coming into Birmingham and killing half of the population? The massacres went on for such a long period that the rivers around Baghdad turned red with the blood of the Muslims. And then they ransacked the libraries, and Baghdad was one of the learning centers of the world. And then the same rivers which had turned red with the blood of the Muslims now turned black with the ink from the books. 1.6 million was the total in the population of Baghdad, and half of it was killed. And the narrations mention that they began to make pyramids with the skulls of the Muslims. And Ibn Athir, rahmatullah alayhi, the famous historian, mentions that for months I have been wanting to write about the atrocities which took place in Baghdad, but when I recall these atrocities, I cannot bring pen to paper. I cannot bring pen to paper. A muarrikh, a muhaddis like Ibn Athir rahmatullah alayh, was traumatized by what he had seen in Baghdad. But this wasn't the first time that Iraq had seen a massacre. For centuries before this, Iraq saw another massacre. And in this massacre, the rivers didn't turn red with the believers' blood, but the blood which ran through their veins was the holiest of blood. For it was the same blood which flowed through the veins of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was the massacre of the blessed family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the murder of that person who was the most beloved person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walking on the face of this earth. It was his grandson Hussein radiallahu anhu. For who other than Hussein had the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam putting him upon his shoulders? Upon occasion, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu saw Hassan and Hussein upon the shoulders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Oh, what a beautiful ride you have." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, Umar, what beautiful riders I have upon my shoulders." Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu was giving the Jummah khutbah, and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhum entered the masjid, and the Prophet ﷺ descended from the pulpit. He picked Hassan and Hussein up, and then he ascended the pulpit again, and he said, "Indeed Allah speaks the truth when he says, 'Innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna,' that your wealth and your progenies are a fitna for you." Who else other than Hussein had the honor of the Prophet ﷺ chasing him in the streets of Medina? Upon occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was walking through the streets of Medina, and he saw Hussein radiallahu anhu playing with a group of children, and he began to run after him. And Hussein would run this way, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would run after him. Hussein would run out that way, and Rahmatul Alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam would run after him, until finally he caught him, he embraced him, and he kissed him. Who else other than Hussein had the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifting his garment and kissing him upon his navel? Who else other than Hussein radiallahu anhu had the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein"? Who else other than Hassan and Hussein had the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that your houses will be opposite my house in Jannah? Who else other than Hassan and Hussein had the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that on the day of judgment, in the hereafter, Sayyid al-Shababi Ahlul Jannah, that you will be the leaders of all the youth in Jannah? All the youth in Jannah. And the amazing thing is that a group of people who regarded themselves as Muslims, after seeing how much love the Prophet ﷺ had for Hassan and Hussein, killed Hassan and Hussein. These people will come on the day of judgment and they will want the Prophet ﷺ to give him water on the well of Kawthar, but they deprived the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ for water for 3 days. They will come and they will want the Prophet ﷺ to intercede on their behalf, but they mercilessly killed that person who was the most beloved person walking on the face of this earth to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people will come on the day of judgment and they will want the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to intercede upon their behalf. Moving on to the death of Hussein radiallahu anhu, the reality is we use the word death, but these people don't die. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Do not think of those who have died fighting in the path of the Lord that they are dead. They are alive by Allah. They are alive by Allah. They are alive in our hearts. They are alive and kicking in the books of history. And the reality is that when these people die, they bring the ummah to life. When you recall their sacrifices for their deed, it brings our hearts alive. And therefore, we feel sorry for them. But Allah says, do not regard them as dead. They are alive in the Rabbihim yurzaqoon. And Allah sustains them. Allah sustains them. The background to the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu was that when Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away, he made his son Yazid the Khalif. Many of the people of Iraq felt that Hussein should have been the next Khalifa, and they began to write letters. The narrations mention that they sent 12,000 letters to Hussein radiallahu anhu, that Hussein, come to us and we will give bayah to you, we will regard you as the Khalifa. What Hussein radiallahu anhu did is that he sent his cousin Muslim ibn Aqil to see what was happening in Kufa. When Muslim ibn Aqil left, he left with two guides. On the way, the first one passed away, and then the second one passed away, and Muslim ibn Aqil got a very bad feeling about this journey, and he wrote a letter to Hussein saying, oh Hussein, I got a very bad feeling about the journey. But Hussein radiallahu anhu told him to carry on. When he reached Kufa, within a number of days, 32,000 people gave bayah on the hands of Muslim ibn Aqil for Hussein radiallahu anhu. And he wrote a letter to Hussein radiallahu anhu, who was in Makkah. He said, Hussein, come to Kufa, for the people's hearts are with you. At that time, the governor of Kufa was a man called Numan ibn Bashir, who was a very pious person. And the people said, oh Numan, what are you doing? Why don't you sort Muslim out? And Numan ibn Bashir didn't want to be tested through the family of the Prophet sallallahu. And he said, I'd rather be weak for the truth than be strong for falsehood. And Yazid, when he saw that Numan ibn Bashir had turned a blind eye, then he replaced him with a tyrant called Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. What Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad did, he entered Kufa with his face covered. And the people of Kufa were already waiting for Hussein radiallahu anhu. And they thought that this was Hussein radiallahu anhu, because he had a small entourage with him. And they began to say, Assalamu alaikum, O grandson of the Prophet. Assalamu alaikum, grandson of the Prophet. And then Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad understood the seriousness of the situation, and he went straight to the governor's palace, and then the people understood that this is not Hussein, this is somebody else. And the first thing he did, he sent scouts out to look for the gatherings of Hussein radiallahu anhu, Muslim ibn Aqil. And one of the slaves, they found this gathering. What he would do, he would sit there and he would see who would come and go, who would come and go. And then he would report back to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And one of the people who would come to this gathering was a person called Hani. He was the leader of his people. And Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad summoned him, and he asked him, Hani, tell me where Muslim is. And Hani said, I don't know where Muslim is. I don't even know who Muslim is. And then he called the slave out. And then Hani understood, game over. And then he said, I swear by Allah, if Muslim ibn Aqil was under my foot, I will not reveal him to you. If he was under my foot, I will not reveal him to you. When Muslim ibn Aqil found out that Hani had been arrested, he marched on the governor's palace with 4,000 people. 4,000 men. And what Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad had done, he had gathered all the leaders of the tribe, and they told him, if you peel off your men, then I will remunerate you. You will be my sidekicks. You will be my cronies. So they went out and they began to peel off their men. The narrations mentioned that in the morning, Muslim ibn Aqil had 4,000 men. In the afternoon, he had 400 men. Come Maghrib, he had 30 men. And after Maghrib, he was all by himself. All by himself. And he's walking and hiding in the streets of Kufa. And the Baytullah ibn Ziyad men are looking for him, until finally he came to a house and he knocked on the door, and the old lady opened the door and he said, "Oh lady, do you have any water for a traveler?" And she said, "Indeed." She gave him some water, and Muslim ibn Aqil drank the water and he sat there. And the lady said, "Why are you sitting here? What's wrong?" And then he told her, "I am Muslim ibn Aqil." And she said, "Family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" She said, "Yes." She was honored. She took him in. And then later on her son came and she told him, "We are honored, we have the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our house." But he had another agenda. He wanted a dollar or a dime. He was a sellout. Come morning, without washing his face, without brushing his teeth, he went straight to the governor's palace and he said, "If you give me some money, I will tell you where Muslim ibn Aqil is." They gave him some money. He told them where he was. They besieged the house. They arrested Muslim ibn Aqil. When he came to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's palace, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad said, "Take him to the roof and take Hani to the roof and behead them and throw their head over the palace wall." So people know that whoever rebels against the Khalif, whoever rebels against Yazid, this will be their outcome. This happened on the day of Arafat. Hussein radiallahu anhu left Makkah one or two days before this. And when the eminent Sahaba radiallahu anhu found out that Hussein was going, they tried to convince him not to go. The likes of Abdullah ibn Zubair. When Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu found out, he said, "Hussein, where are you going?" He said, "Hussein, don't you know what these people did to your father? Don't you know what the people of Iraq did to your brother? So where are you going?" And Hussein radiallahu anhu insisted that he wanted to go. And then Abdullah ibn Abbas said, "I swear by Allah, Hussein, if I had the power, I would tie a rope upon your neck and I would keep you in Makkah." When Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu found out, he traveled for 3 days to catch up with Hussein radiallahu anhu. And he said, "Hussein, where are you going?" And he said, "Look at the letters that they've sent me. They want to give bayah to me." And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was one of the leading scholars and he had a deep insight in the Quran and the Hadith. And he said, "Hussein, this can never happen, because the Prophet ﷺ said that he is from you and you are from him. And the Prophet ﷺ was given an option of the dunya and the akhirah, and he chose the akhirah. So you can never attain the dunya." And Hussein radiallahu anhu insisted upon going. And then Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, "Hussein, show me that place where the Prophet ﷺ used to kiss you." And Hussein radiallahu anhu, he lifted his garment, and Abdullah ibn Umar kissed him on that very spot where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to kiss him. And then Hussein radiallahu anhu advanced and he met a man called Farazdaq, who was a very famous poet, and he asked him, "What is the situation in Kufa?" And he said, "The situation in Kufa is that the hearts of the people are with you, but their swords are with Bani Umayyah." And then Hussein radiallahu anhu went further on and he began to say, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." And they said, "Hussein, what's wrong?" He said, "I have seen an angel in the form of a rider, and he has told me that the army is coming and death awaits you." And they said, "Hussein, what did you say? What do you see?" Upon the second time he said, "I have seen the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And when he went further on, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad had sent an army under Hur ibn Yazid of 1,000 men. And when Hur ibn Yazid confronted Hussein radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Hussein, don't make Allah test me through the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And Hussein radiallahu anhu carried on with his caravan, and Hur ibn Yazid began to follow him with his army. He began to follow him with his army. And then when he began to follow him, Hussein radiallahu anhu said, "Hur, may your mother lose you. Get lost. May your mother lose you." And Hur ibn Yazid said, "Hussein, I swear by Allah, if anybody other than you had said this to me, I would have taken revenge from him and his mother. But what can I say? Your mother is the leader of all the women of this dunya and all the women of the akhirah. What can I say to you?" And then Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad sent reinforcements. He sent another 4,000 men under Umar ibn Sa'd, and another 4,000 men under Shimr, another 1,000 men under Husayn ibn Umayr, and another 1,000 men under Muhammad ibn Ash'ath. And when Husayn radiallahu anhu saw the seriousness of the situation, 11,000 men, and Husayn radiallahu anhu only had 72 people with him. That's all he had. And then he turned to Umar ibn Sa'd and he said, "Oh Umar, give me one of three options. Either allow me to go and fight the rest of my life in the path of Allah, go to the frontiers and spend my life fighting in jihad, or allow me to speak to Yazid, or thirdly allow me to go to Makkah." And Umar ibn Sa'd wrote a letter to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, and Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad agreed. But Shimr, who was sitting there, he said, "No, you cannot agree, for if you agree upon his condition, then he wins. Tell him he must surrender without any conditions, and his fate will lie in our hands." And then they sent a letter to Umar ibn Sa'd.